Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Welcome back in, everybody, to the Hour of the Radio Program. My name is Brian Owen. I'm sitting in trying to fuse of Eddie Miller while he's away off up in New York getting ready to run the marathon tomorrow. So we maybe all can keep Brother Eddie in our thoughts and prayers as he participates in that, and also make sure he gets back home safe and sound so he can rejoin us next Saturday. We had to cut Pastor Rob, Thomas Rob, loose to make room for Sister Monica and Miss Nancy and also Jason. We held on with Michael Tubbs because I had contacted him, actually had confirmed with him first in the week to being on, and I had asked him at that time to be on. To be on for 3 hours. So anyway, without further ado, we had kind of transitioned a little bit there at the end of the second hour from the Christian identity discussion into a little bit of the modern day events and occurrences. And we've got Sister Braveheart Monica Schaefer on the line, and she's been listening, and she has something that she wants to share with us. So you go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, hi. I hope you can hear me all right. I'm on the phone connection. The other one kind of cut out. But anyway, you know, I was listening to the discussion in the last couple of hours, and I want to just create a little bit of a bridge to that, which we've been discussing a lot in previous weeks, and we have been talking about what's going on over in Israel. And you know, Pastor Rob, I can relate to what he said, but here is what I would say about it. Basically that, you know, he said, well, all of them are our enemy. But here's the thing. So when Israel is bombing Palestine and when the Jews are creating wars without end in other places, like in the entire Middle East, they are creating wars on people who are not white. And so we could say, well, we don't, like, it doesn't affect us, but it does affect us, because what is going on is they create refugees, in quotation marks. They create millions of refugees, millions of basically displaced people who then, and again, this is Jewish-led and Jewish-orchestrated, that they end up on our doorstep, and then they do become an enemy within. I mean, we are basically invaded by an alien enemy, and internally, this non-white. They call it immigration, or they call it, you know, let's help the refugees, or let's, you know, this kind of thing. So that would be my take on how we should be concerning ourselves with what's going on. But when we're talking about identity, and I was listening with great interest about the Christian identity discussion, but I would like to talk about the identity of us as a racial people. And I do think that Michael Tubbs was talking about that at the end. I'm not sure which of you were saying that at the end, that this racial aspect was just critical. It could have been Pastor Rob, too. That is the most important thing, I think, and I never used to know any of that. And it only was after I went down the rabbit hole of discovering, you know, some of the lies, starting with 9/11, and then the Holocaust, the Holo-hoax, and then figuring out what's going on with who's orchestrating this and who's lying to us. And then it dawned, then it came clear to me that they don't want us to think about racial issues. And that's why the word racist is one of the most weaponized words in our whole entire English language, and in, I guess, probably other languages too. You know, this, oh, you're a racist, you know, and oh, that's going to lead to the next Holocaust. And of course, that's implying that the other one that they talk about in World War II actually happened. So that's just kind of my, that's part of the bridge that I'd like to create to what we will very likely talk about during this hour. And I want to hand it over back to you, Ran, or to Nancy, however you want to go with that.
Yeah, thank you, Monica. Just go ahead, Miss Nancy. Just take off from where Sister Monica left off.
Well, I've been obsessed with this, what has been going on in Israel and Gaza. I've been totally obsessed. And I have known about Pastor Rob probably way back, probably 45 years. And some of the things he said, of course, I would defy. I really could not agree with. And I'm sure that he's a wonderful man and his family is too. I support what they're doing as far as being good to our people. Of course, I support that. But if you want to talk about infidels, he says they're... The Jews and the Muslims are both infidels. That might be okay. That might be okay if the so-called Jewish infidels did not run our country lock, stock, and barrel. Every politician, and I would like to have someone call in and tell me one brave politician who is not marching in lockstep with let's go ahead and bomb Gaza into submission. There's only one politician that I have come across right now who has even voted against more money to Israel, and that's my Kentucky representative, Thomas Massey. And I think he's a very courageous man. I think in the past he's also been against all of this aid to Israel. What I'm getting at is, we will continuously, and we have done this for probably, I'm certain, since the UN started, we have never, ever admonished Israel's war crimes. And they have committed war crimes probably before 1948 when the country was overrun with these people, villains, vile people. Yes, we can talk about infidels, but the infidels are sitting in control of us. These so-called politicians are either being bought, sold, bribed, blackmailed, honeypots, whatever. They're all on board with, this is not even a war. This is genocide. You cannot call it a war when you're attacking people who are using slingshots, rocks, and rockets, and they don't have heavy arms. They're not able to defend themselves in a legitimate military war. This is just out and out genocide. I don't see how anybody can refer to this as a war. It's not a war. These Jews have been bragging for years about what they've done to these Palestinians. They say they're up to 36 journalists have been killed as of yesterday, and probably right now they're killing hundreds, maybe thousands, 10,000 probably by the end of the evening. If this can be condoned by Christians, then I'm really confused about our so-called love for mankind. Now, the Arabs may be dark-skinned, but I'll tell you what, I would prefer to be in the company of an Arab than a lying Jew. And I just back to tar and feathering, which is something we try to do every week, I'm going to say tar and feather every one of our politicians. All of them are 100% on board with bombing Gaza into submission, and there's a reason for it. We want Israel to be totally occupied. It started out, it was basically 100% Palestinian. They were Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Today, the population of Israel is about 15% Palestinian. So that's kind of my take on...
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, Nancy, that it's a genocide. And I would say that the expression that is sometimes used by people who are very concerned about this is, we are all Palestinians now, and that's in the very metaphorical sense, in that what the Jews are doing to the Palestinians, they have every intention of doing to us, the white race, and they have spelled it out. It's not a guesswork. It's not guesswork to say that they want us to be basically next. And they've been working at this for a long time. I mean, they are flooding all the white countries with people from all these war-torn areas around the world. So we cannot just say, well, it doesn't really matter, they're all our enemy. Well, even if you, like, we can't do that, because what happens is they are ending up in our gates. And
right.
We, as caring and compassionate people, yeah, we should care about it. But we should care about it for many reasons. First of all, it's completely barbaric what is going on, and people are being genocided. But secondly, in the end, it does actually hurt us too. So I would say that I would love to have a conversation. Maybe next week, Ran, you could bring us all together on this, and we could discuss this with Pastor Rob.
Yeah.
I hear the music.
I agree with you, Monica. The Jews are doing to the Palestinians the exact same thing that they claim against 50 for, that they say the Germans did to them. We'll be right back.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Okay, got a lot to cover here in the sport. Do it. But first, before we go any further, I wanted to give Brother Michael a chance to chime in or ask any questions before we move on.
Thank you, sir. Well, this whole situation in the Middle East reminds me of my father, who was a big football fan. His favorite team was Alabama, but also his favorite team was whoever was playing against Notre Dame. And my favorite team over there in the sandbox is whoever's giving those Jews the biggest black eye at the moment. They're both antichrist by scriptural definition, but I don't mind cheerleading for whoever's giving them that black eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's hope they are. But it's going to be very difficult because they got America involved. They're on the ground. They've sent in ships. I mean, I just don't understand how legitimately we can be in there sending ships in to fight an enclosed prison. It's just unconscionable. It's just to me. And another thing that I think is really tells you that what's going on, this stupid country of ours, they send a Jew over there, Blinken, they send a Jew to negotiate with another evil Jew, Netanyahu, on a temporary pause, not even a damn ceasefire, a temporary pause for so-called humanitarian material to get in, which is ridiculous. Humanitarian aid, yeah, after these people have been bombed into submission and totally, you know, the country's been totally destroyed. And no, Netanyahu says, no, that's not good enough. No pause unless all these so-called people who are being held hostage. These hostages, they call them Americans. That's all they do on television. They've got hostages. These are American Jews that are either over there on holiday or they're dual citizens. They're Jewish Americans. And I doubt if they're, you know, and some of them are probably going to get killed with this endless bombing. I mean, how do, you know, the Jews probably know where these hostages are anyway. This is all a scam. But what I think is really ridiculous is our country will not call for a ceasefire. In fact, they came out, I think the lady, this black gay that represents the White House, she said they're not calling for a ceasefire. It's a blotch on our honor, if we have any honor left, that we do not even call for a ceasefire. There's too much money to be made, and the Jews are in control of our minds, our media, our government, and they basically want to drive all those people into the Sinai and set up some tent cities so that they can run them completely out of the country, and we're helping them. There's no doubt we're helping them do that. We've blown up mosques, we've attacked schools, hospitals, and they've even admitted that the Israelis have bombed ambulances yesterday. They always come up with some scam about, oh, well, there were Hamas were involved in somehow in the transit of these ambulances. And our American people believe all these lies. That's just my two cents.
They eat those lies up. They just gobble them right up, Miss Nancy. They sure do. As a matter of fact, I believe I heard or understood at the top of the hour break that they announced again that the United States was not supporting a ceasefire over there. So, hey, I understand you was at a protest earlier today. You want to share a little bit of that with us, Miss Nancy?
Yeah, I've been looking for a protest. I've got my signs, I think from 2014. I've got some really nice signs, you know, get out of Israel, get out of Gaza. I think they were bombing Gaza back in 2014. It could have been more recently, but at any rate, I tried.
Yeah, I think you're right. There was that 50-day war. I think that you're right, Nancy. I think it was 2014, or it might have been 2015, but there was that 50-day war where they just bombed and bombed and bombed hospital, ambulance, everything, just like they're doing now.
Right. And I had some really good some signs I had made up. I still kept them, and I had them, and I was anxious to use them. And I was able to contact a Palestinian man who's a professor at U of L, and he finally gave me a time today where they were having a protest. And like I say, it was all this is the way we are treated. There is no place that we can protest because, first of all, it was mainly women that I finally found. I had no idea where these people were. It's some kind of park. And it looked like an off the beaten path to have a protest where I couldn't imagine where people would even see us. Well, it was mainly women. There was three or four women trying to set up a sign that said ceasefire. And all of a sudden, of course, here comes a cop. This is about an hour before the protest. This is our freedom. We're in an empty parking lot, and it's in front of a Raytheon and another company that produces ammunition for transfer over to Israel, I guess. And I had no idea that what it was all about because it was so off the beaten path. Well, no, he scattered us. No, we're going to be, the police are going to come here, and they're going to move you all. And I thought, this is a way get harassed. It's four or five women. okay, we go across to another location. Actually, it turned out, in my opinion, to be a better location on a main highway. At first, it was just mainly women. And I asked one of the women who was organizing this, I said, where are the guys? Oh, they're coming. Well, see, I was there early, which I always get to a place early. So I was there at least 40 minutes early. So anyway, some people did show up and start protesting. But listen to this. They were married wearing masks. And I asked one couple, I said, what's the idea of the mask? Oh, well, they were doing it for the COVID, and to keep themselves concealed. And I said, what a damn joke. They're not concealed from the FBI, the CIA, the BATF. Everybody knows who they are. Let me tell you what they do. They take a photograph of your car, and they get your license tag immediately. So these people think they're hiding from the police, and they're hiding from bugs and disease. I was shocked.
Unbelievable.
This is outdoor. It's not inside. This was outside on the street. They're wearing masks.
It's unbelievable now.
I think they might be more worried about Jews doxing them than they are worried about government agencies, probably. I mean, that's the problem we had in Charlottesville. You know, it didn't matter if the FBI or anybody else knew who we were. We weren't going to lose our jobs from what the FBI did. It was the leftists, the radicals, the Jews that were taking pictures of us and having people lose their jobs over it. So they're probably masked for that reason.
Yeah, you know, we're in such a corner. Go ahead.
The one answer that I got was from one couple, and they said, oh, well, for COVID and concealment. I thought, my gosh, these people are nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts. I don't know. We're in such a corner, and if people are concerned about, I don't know, we've lost it, I would say, with people behaving in that regard, you know, going to a protest but masking yourself because, like you say, afraid of a bug. And I don't know, like we're between a rock and a hard place, but it's time, folks, to grow a pair, I guess. That's what Eddie would say, I think.
Does your state have laws against wearing masks at protests?
What's that?
Does your state have laws against wearing masks at protests? I know
probably.
A lot of states
do. Probably. Oh, yeah, especially if it has anything to do with the Klan.
That was probably the only way to get around it was to claim protection from COVID.
Oh, right.
I guess, maybe.
Goodness.
Oh, maybe. Well, they said both. One couple I asked, and I asked another man. He didn't have a mask on. I wouldn't let him take a picture of me because I know that the publication that he wanted to put it in, I know exactly what the publication is, and I object to the publication. And I asked him, I said, why are these people running around here with his mask on? He didn't know the answer to that. But I said, don't take my picture. I don't want my picture in that stupid rag of yours. So anyway, there was a TV camera. I think it was TV camera. I didn't expect anybody to show up because there's not been a thing on television about any protest except maybe 2 weeks ago. This so-called war has been going on now for over 3 weeks. Yeah. So I think they mentioned one protest at the University of Louisville. Yeah. But
falling off balls. I'm sorry to interrupt, but following all the law just reminds me of what Monica said recently. I think I've actually heard her say it a couple of times about how long are we going to go by what some idiot puts blots of toner on paper, you know? How long are we going to continue with that, you know? So.
Right. You know, I was going to pitch out an idea to our listeners. We know that there are maybe the music's coming on. Is the music coming on?
No.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it is. All right, hang on, everybody. We're going to our bottom of the hour break of the third hour. Have a couple more segments in the program.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. At least 130 people are dead following an earthquake in Nepal. The U.S. Geological Survey says a 5.6 magnitude quake shook the northwestern part of the country just before midnight local time. About 140 people were injured in the quake, which caused landslides in the mountainous country. Rescuers are searching the mountain villages for more victims, and officials say the death toll is expected to rise. The President and First Lady visited the site of the most recent mass shooting in the U.S.
President Biden is expressing his condolences for the victims of last month's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Accompanied by the First Lady, he paid a visit to a memorial near the restaurant where the tragic incident occurred.
This tragedy opens a painful wounds all across the country. Too many Americans have lost loved ones or survived the trauma of gun violence.
During his visit, Biden met with first responders, health care providers, and some of the families affected. In the shooting incident inside a bowling alley and restaurant, a man took the lives of 18 people and injured 13 others. I'm John Schaefer.
A storm raging across Europe is leaving millions of households in the dark. Storm Ciarán brought heavy rains and strong winds to Western Europe, causing more than 1 million French households to be left without power on Thursday. An electrical company says 3,000 workers were needed to restore power. Ciarán will continue to impact places in Western Europe through the end of the week. Elon Musk's new artificial intelligence startup will debut later today. The tech billionaire posted on his social media platform X, formerly Twitter, that XAI will release its first AI to a select group. He claimed it's the best that currently exists. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Okay, welcome back in, everyone, to the Blood River Radio program. We're going into the third segment of the third hour, and Sister Braveheart, Monica Schaefer, has some information on some political prisoners that she wants to share with us. So go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. These political prisoners, they are highlighting for us what we are dealing with, and we are just going full-blown into Talmudic rule, I guess. Talmudic, it just gets so twisted. Here's a great example of how twisted and evil Talmudic rule is. And if people don't know what the Talmud is, that is the holy book, in quotation marks, of the Jews. And it used to be, mm-hmm. like in the Soviet Union, that to be in possession of the Talmud would be death penalty. And it would be even death to a Jew who shared it with a non-Jew, with the Goyim, because they knew that if the Goyim, that would be what they call us, the Gentiles, that's, you know, in their view, cattle, in their view, we are not humans. But if they knew that if we know what they say about us, then we would strike them down where they are. Okay, so one example, Marianne Wilfert, she has been in jail in Germany, and she's supposed to go back to jail. They just haven't picked her up yet, but she has a sentence hanging over her head, and it's for the usual, you know, speaking the truth about what the Jews are doing and speaking the truth about World War II history, etc. her daughter. She has four children, so these are grandchildren of Marianne. These grandchildren were taken away from the mother. In other words, they were taken away from Marianne's daughter because the daughter might share the same viewpoints as Marianne. Mm-hmm. This was literally how mm-hmm. they put it. Now it came out that one of the daughters was abused, sexually abused by the father. This is where these four children have been residing. So these parents, they have been divorced for a couple of years, I think. And so this came out, it was verified by a doctor, that, you know, but now the children are supposed to be put into a home instead of being brought back to the mother, because the mother might share these very, very, you know, dangerous viewpoints of the grandmother. Okay, so this is very convoluted. And then, so they're supposed to go into a home. Now, on top of that, the daughter is supposed to pay, it's like thousands of euros per month for the upkeep of her children, which have been stolen from her by a system which does not want her to raise her own children because she might share the viewpoints. And look, the daughter has never actually publicly stated what her viewpoints are about history, let alone, I mean, we don't even have to discuss or debate whether these viewpoints are true or not. Well, we have discussed this many times on this program that, you know, this Holocaust story is a big fat lie. But let's just say that it wasn't a big fat lie. It doesn't matter. The daughter has never stated these views publicly or anything. So who knows what she thinks about these things other than she in the privacy mm-hmm. of her home? So that's one example of Talmudic logic and where we are going with this. And so when these people at the protest that you just came from, Nancy, they're afraid to, you know, have their faces shown at a protest where they're protesting about this genocide of the Palestinians. I take it that's what the protest was about, yes. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. You know, we got to wear a mask, oh, because there's bugs, or, well, in actual fact, they, you know, they want to hide their identity. I mean, we have to get over this fear. Like, if people really understood what a corner we have been backed into and really understood what is at stake, we would shed all that fear, and because everything is at stake here. And if we don't get mm-hmm. this right, we don't have anything to protect anymore. Like, we have to get this mm-hmm. right. Anyway, Leslie Borey, who we have talked about on this program, I just got a letter from him yesterday, and I'd just like to read a little bit of this, if I may, because he really spells things out well. So, okay, he says, "Dear Monica, I hope that you are well. I heard that Alfred is in jail again." That's my brother. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Leslie says, "He would be in jail less often if he was a bank robber or a violent police officer. It goes to show the world that the guilty people fear the truth from spreading about their Sopharim 15 agenda and becoming common knowledge." And Leslie mm-hmm. talks a lot about the Sopharim 15 gang, and I'll just remind people what that is. That is directly out of the Talmud, which I have just been talking about, and it is the part that says even the best of the goyim deserve to die. This is in their holy books. We really have to mm-hmm. understand this. Okay, I'm going to go on with his letter. "In time, the term Sopharim 15 will be more famous than the Hollow Hoax. When the hoax is mentioned, people will know that it is a Sopharim 15 trick to get sympathy for people who call all others subhuman and that think that all non-members must be killed. Truth tellers are using words to stop the extermination of the 99% of humanity and are being subjected to violence and cruelty for being the good guys who are warning humanity with education." In other words, he's talking about the political prisoners, himself included.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leslie goes on to say, "I have taken my first physical injuries during my resistance. On September 23rd, I had my nose broken. I had two black eyes. I had a gouge on my forehead that needed stitches. I had an inch and a half long gash in the back of my head, and it was bleeding out of the left side of my head, and I had bumps all over my head. I have two broken ribs, and I had scrapes on my hand and knee. I am unbowed. and I am happy to still be in the fight for Canadians against the SOFR M15 Talmud gang and all of their stooges who are corrupt, violent liars and murderers who take part in trying to bring in a one-world government by reducing the population and subjugating the rest with economic terrorism and legal countermeasures ranging from hate speech laws to stop truth-telling and gun confiscation to stop people from defending themselves from another Bolshevik mass slaughter of the 99% who they call Goyim. Whew, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. This is powerful.
What a brave
stuff,
man. A brave,
yes,
brave
is.
Man.
Yeah.
He's got guts.
Do you
he
want,
really got guts.
Yeah, yeah, he is. I am so happy to read those words. I am unbowed, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So then he goes on to say, recently in occupied Palestine, there has been a slaughter of Palestinians blamed on attacks by Hamas, by the people whose motto is, by way of deception, we wage war. The same people who did 9/11 and by way of deception had Canada help to invade innocent Afghanistan, which resulted in the deaths of 159 of Canada's soldiers, and many innocent Afghanis are telling the world that they are victims again. For people who are in the know, we equate Israel's claim of victimhood with a claim that General Custer was an innocent victim who was killed without cause. These people obviously mm-hmm. control mainstream media as well as our governments and the police, who get trained by B'nai B'rith to stop all whistleblowing about the Talmud and the SOFR M15 gang. I hope Alfred doesn't stay in jail for long. And then he goes on to talk about that some more. And do you want to comment while I just scan the letter for where I want to read on? And Michael Tubbs, too. I know you're on the sidelines there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let Michael respond to that. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're talking about this Talmud. And for anybody listening in that's not familiar with it, they'll probably won't believe some of the things that are in it. And back in the 80s, I used to read a lot of right-wing literature. Of course, I still do. And I heard all this stuff about the Talmud. I had never seen it, though. And it wasn't until I went to a federal prison where, of all places, I got to finally see the actual Talmud sitting on a shelf in the prison chapel library. It was an encyclopedia-like set of books, and I could not believe my eyes. It was actually there, and I could touch it. So the first thing I did was I started pulling out all my right-wing literature that I had made notes from and checking these verses. And sure enough, there it all was. You know, it's on Hebrew on one side and English on the other as you open the page, you know, one page for each language, translating it. And you know, I was shocked. I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, there it was, said that Jesus Christ was the bastard son of a Jewish whore and a Roman centurion, or that Jesus Christ was in hell right now, burning in, boiling in his own excrement. And people need to come to terms with this so-called holy book of the Jews and realize the blasphemies that it speaks against their Savior. If every Christian knew that, we wouldn't be providing any money to Israel.
Right, right.
Thank you, Bob.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last 15 minutes of this Saturday, November 4th, Blood River Radio program. And just a couple of things that I want to say real quick. Then we're going to, we're having a little discussion with Michael Tubbs, and I'm going to let him elaborate a little more on him being a political prisoner somewhat. But first of all, before we run up against the end of the hour and we're gone, I just want to say thank you to Jason Robb. Thank you to Pastor Tom Robb. Thank you, Michael Tubbs. Thank you, Sister Monica. Thank you, Sister Nancy, for being on. Thank you, Lizzie, for making this program go, and I just wanted to go ahead and get that out of the way and be done with it. But just remember, talking about political prisoners, let's remember we have some here, too, like the McMichaels, that were three men convicted over there for just defending their cells and their neighborhood from being terrorized by a thug. And the political prisoners from Charlottesville, I don't have time to name any of them, but one that comes to mind is Jacob Goodwin. You know, they've been there, I don't know how many years now, 5-6 years now, Michael Tubbs. It's been a while, a long time, and got several more years to go. Anyway, Michael, if you will, share on the air what you were sharing with us, if you don't mind, about your run-in with the feds.
Well, I've told the story before about how I got there, but you know, as it applies to what the lady's going to talk about, the evilness of these antichrists, I hadn't ran into too many Jews in my life before I went to prison. And then when you get there, the prison, the federal prison is chock full of them for white collar crimes and Jewish mafia activity, a lot of violent stuff. And I tell you, my mind was open when I started being around these people. They were sick and evil, and I listened to them conspire about how they were going to rob the goyim when they got out of prison. I mean, they were unashamed about it. I mean, from anything from talking about opening up a pawn shop and raping the community with a pawn shop, or deflowering young Christian girls. I mean, that's what their conversations were all about. And
how long ago were you in prison?
That was like 1990, 91, 92, 93. Got out in 94.
The reason I ask is because I wonder if that there would be that many Jews in prison now, even though their crimes are just escalating and escalating. But I'm you know, they were in prison, which meant that the justice system was actually working somewhat, right? But the Jews seem to have this power to get away with their crimes. So that's really interesting.
I'm certain that a lot of them are getting away with a lot of stuff, but some of them are just so bold that, you know, they just can't beat the system, you know, once they get caught. I mean, we hear, you know, Bernie Madoff and the Wolf of Wall Street and, you know, this Benjamin Freed, whatever his name is. I mean, eventually they get caught and they go to prison. And you just don't realize what they're really like until you have to sleep in a cell next to them and, you know, eat with them and be on a courtyard with them and just rub shoulders with them all the time and overhear their conversations and such. It's pretty eye-opening when you get them in a situation where they don't feel like they have to conceal their ideas and such from the goyim. It's an enlightening experience. Prison did me good. It opened my eyes to a lot of things, and that was one of them.
Well, that's super interesting. Actually, you know, it's just speaking of opening, getting your eyes opened in prison. Do you know, my personal experience about the people that I met in prison was that they were much more receptive to hearing and listening and understanding the truth about what's going on in the world. Like when I was telling them what I was there for and actually talking to them about these matters of history that we've been lied to about, the prison population in general is much more receptive to hearing it than the general population.
I have noticed the exact same thing. And I've also noticed that, at least in the federal prison population, there are some absolute genius people in there. I mean, they all got caught, obviously, but the plans that they put into place to get rich quick or whatever, they had such incredible schemes. And there were a lot of brilliant people in there. And a lot of them, their minds are very much open to new ideas. I mean, just in my case, Christian Identity spread like wildfire through the prison system when I was there. It was quite amazing. Of course, I think that some people are sent to prison to receive messages. You know, sometimes you got to be slapped upside the head real hard by our God to get a message. And maybe sometimes people go to prison to get that message. I don't know. But yeah, I agree. A lot of people in prison are very much more receptive than outside.
Alfred is finding the same thing when he was just before he got released from his previous jail stint, and that was the beginning of July of 2022. He was let out of solitary a couple of weeks before he was let out because the mask mandates got dropped. And he says, boy, was he ever glad that he didn't get released early. Like if he had been released a few weeks earlier, he would have missed out on what he experienced in those last couple of weeks when he was allowed to mingle with the other prisoners and whatnot. He just said that everybody was saying with one voice, Schaefer was right. Like he calls it, he got his biggest harvest there because, you know, he managed to educate a lot of people there in jail about what's going on, including the guards, including the staff, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and Leslie is saying the same thing. I'm just typing up the second of his... He's sent me some mini books that you could call them, and in his second one, I'm just typing that up, and he's talking about some of the other prisoners and how they want to help him. They want to help him when he gets out to turn this country around and stuff. So he's really made some good friends, and that gives me another reason to suspect that assault on him that was somebody was put up to that, because he's getting along really well with the prison population in general. Like he has written about that, so. Somebody blindsided him, and so I have no doubt that was because of his political activity and views and whatnot.
Terrible.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The guards will definitely work for people on the outside to get people either killed or seriously injured on the inside.
That's what I've heard. That's what I understand, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, another couple of prisoners that I just want to mention, like I was in very regular contact with Philip Hassler. He's in an Austrian prison, and he's a rapper, like musician, you could call it. But anyway, just because for words, again, for bad words, bad mouth noises, as he calls it, he's in prison for 10 years. And
they
are cutting off his correspondence, just like they've done with Matt Hale. Matt Hale is not getting, or he's not able to write to anybody or receive mail from anybody other than immediate family members. Now, I don't know who's able to write to Philip. I have been cut off from him. I know that I would have received. I find this completely arbitrary, cruel, and unusual punishment for well, punishment, what a word. It's just because punishment implies that he did something wrong. No, but it's just unbelievable. It really infuriates me. Why are they cutting off mail to these prisoners? So Philip Hassler has been cut off from mail. Matt Hale has been cut off now for quite a while. And
their ideas are dangerous.
Yeah, their ideas are dangerous. Well, it's just such a anyway. And Nancy, what about Vincent Renoir? Did you you've been hearing more about his case, or do you want to talk about that?
Well, I did get a letter. I guess the last letter. He said that he said that. It looked like he would probably be, he thought he would be released, but it looks like he might, now I think he's going to be extradited back to France, although they're appealing it.
Oh, and, yeah, okay, so he still is in Scotland, is he? Because
yeah, in fact,
know that
I think he, yeah, I could read you the last paragraph, I guess. He said, he does mention you. He said, what you wrote to me about Monica inspires me with fear, and I think you know what I mean, but was your, the visit you had in Canada.
Oh, the little
and
visit.
He says because, yeah, because in France, authorities totally deprived its freedom of speech of its substance in forbidding hate speeches. They say you can say whatever you want as long as you don't incite to hatred. But they decide with their judges if a speech is hate speech. For example, they say, oh, by saying that gas chambers didn't exist, you incite to anti-Semitism. So it's a hate speech. Or by saying that in prison, 30% of the prisoners come from Africa, you incite racism. So it's hate speech. And if you reply... But what I say is true, they retort, it's out of the question. Truth is no defense.
Yes.
And so
and they,
he says,
there
I'm
is
afraid.
A Canadian. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's just the last line. He says, I'm afraid that sooner or later, in your country and in Canada and Great Britain, freedom of speech will be deprived of its substance that way. Hope not. Yeah, because if you say anything, it's racism. Or anti-Semitism.
Well, it's almost cliche by
now. New definition.
Yeah, truth is hate to those who hate the truth, right? I mean, it's pretty much a cliche to say that now. And yeah, sorry, I had a thought, but I just lost it. Over to you.
Well, I would suggest to the listeners if they want a different point of view. Or what I think might be a more honest point of view, go to these websites, Electronic Intifada, Al Jazeera, or the Russian News, Russia Times News in English. And I think they may be telling you a little more truth than what we're getting from our Jewish countrymen.
I agree with that, Ms. Nancy, 100%. We got to have... Got to have alternative news sources. I agree with that 100%.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of people doing really, really good work on the internet. I guess you could call it alt media. That gives me hope. I keep running into new people that I see on the internet. And so I think, okay, that means I don't know them all. That's good. Because if I knew them all, that would be a small group, right? I hear the
well,
music.
That's good news.
I hear the music, y'all. It's been great. Once again, thank you all for coming on. And also, I want to thank Eddie for allowing us to have this airtime today on his Blood River Radio program. And all the best to Brother Eddie and his run tomorrow. And it's been great, y'all. Love you all. Glad you were here. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Nick. Thank you. Brother Thomas, Rob, Jason, and Lindsay, thank you all. Goodbye.
Bye.